Hello. Good morning from Israel. It's Brian of London here at the beach. Missed a video last week and a podcast, of course. But I did do a big long video, which unfortunately is hidden, kind of. So stuff for another day. So what's going on? Texas versus the defendant states, the four defendant states, as it's written in their lawsuit, which I read the whole thing. It's actually a really good document, which I find a lot to like in. And my observations are this. I think it was underway, that the work to produce that did not start the night before, that's for sure. It was quite, that is a decent body of work. And also, when the other states started filing amicus briefs, at least the first eight or nine, they must have had those ready to go. Because, again, none of this looks like shoddy last-minute work. And also, I'm starting to see a strategy. And it's a big strategy. And all of these cases, even the Lynn Wood and the Sidney Powell cases, along with what Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis are doing, all of that, even though it gives the media their ridiculous 49 cases have been thrown out, this is just another one type line, all of those cases are the underlying doubt and uncertainty that gives the Texas case its weight. And the Texas case, what's so brilliant about it, and I'm following Robert Barnes on Viva Barnes Law, the locals page, and Robert Barnes keeps doing videos that are private, that are only for subscribers, but he's so succinctly puts it. The Constitution of America is first and foremost an arrangement between the states. It is the states that have got together and decided how they want to give up some small measure of their sovereignty whilst remaining largely sovereign. And the sovereignty that they give up is national defense, national army, everything basically that the federal government does. Except that over the years, the federal government has got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It was never supposed to be that way. The states are largely sovereign, but they've given up their sovereignty for this act of choosing a president and a cabinet and the tie-breaking power of the vice president. That's where states have given up their sovereignty to other states. And hell yes, the Constitution is the agreement by which they agree to give up some of their sovereignty. So just like any normal business dispute between partners, if two partners to a contract have a dispute, they take it to whichever court is listed, because often when you sign an agreement with a business partner, you list a court. You say, we'll deal with this in the court of wherever the two parties are located, or we'll go to arbitration. Well, it's quite clear in the Constitution of America, of the United States of America, that the place where you go to discuss disputes between states is the Supreme Court. So anybody who came out immediately with a knee-jerk thing saying, the Supreme Court's not going to hear this, it's nonsense. Well, you know, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a constitutional expert of America. I listened to Will Chamberlain, I listened to Robert Barnes. Will Chamberlain thought it would be thrown out. I do not believe it's going to be thrown out. I think Will's absolutely wrong. Robert Barnes says that there are only two real occasions that the Supreme Court has been asked to adjudicate matters directly related to deciding an election, and both cases the Supreme Court heard, and the last one was 2000, and the Supreme Court decided, and Al Gore and Joseph Lieberman are not now and never have been president or former presidents and vice president. They lost. So the Supreme Court is going to intervene. And then I look at the Supreme Court and I look at that massive, the push to get Amy Coney Barrett installed so quickly. And then I look at the Senate confirmation hearings of Clarence Thomas. There's not going to be a lot of love lost for the Biden team. But as Robert Barnes points out, and I his knowledge is much greater than mine, the main thing it's going to come down to, I think, is are the elites and the elite institutions going to save themselves or vote for the continuity candidate, which is Biden, or are they going to do the right thing, which is to put Trump back in? And I don't know. We just don't know. We don't know. I hope they do the right thing, because I think Texas's arguments in the very first pages of their case are absolutely valid. Either the Supreme Court strikes out the ability of those four states, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, and I'm very bad at lists. Either they strike out their ability to have a say in choosing the president, because what did they do? What's the main thing? They changed the rules of how they run elections without going through their legislatures properly. And that's against the Constitution. The Constitution's so very, very clear. It's not difficult to read. Only the legislatures of the states shall decide how they appoint the electors, which then go to Washington to choose the president. Only the legislatures, not the judiciary, not the executives. And in all four of the cases, and that's also the reason why they didn't sue Arizona or Nevada, because it's not clear in Arizona, whilst there may have been gross cheating and lots of irregularities with their vote, they didn't change the way they conducted the ballots in an illegal or anti-constitutional way. So for me, I see genius in the tactic. Firstly, everybody was watching all of this theater of Giuliani and Sidney Powell and others, and they were completely ignoring the state versus state approach. As the shock and surprise, Breitbart published that article around midnight our time in Israel. First thing in the morning, just after midnight America time, first thing, and like a whole day went by in Israel where nobody covered this case. Nobody. They didn't know what to do with it. Breitbart just sort of said, here it is. Nobody understood. And now when you look at it and you wake up in the morning and another 30 different amicus filings have taken place overnight, it's clearly this case is a monster. As I said at the time, this is not Kraken, this is Godzilla. And I think that the strategy was in place long, long before, maybe even before the election. So I like that. So what else did I say? Also, yeah, yesterday, different topic. Yesterday, the 49 or 48 states filed a case against Facebook, largely over buying Instagram and WhatsApp. Again, these are unimaginative legal cases. And I've got some more reading to do to finish reading the whole case, because I like to read the actual documents. But yeah, Facebook's too big, and the regulator's now turning around and saying, oh crap, this happened while we were watching, because Facebook sought and got permission to do both of those purchases, and nobody really at the time said anything. And now they're looking around, but they still aren't focusing on the bigger problem, which is the sale of your personal information for their advertising business. And they don't look at Facebook from the point of view of its business model and how pernicious that is. Same with Google. And that brings me to the final thing, which is that Andrew and I have just yesterday, Andrew filed the latest documents for our case, and we've got another hearing coming up in a week. And I think there's going to be very, very big news coming out of the back of that hearing or within a few days. And the more that I see going on around in the rest of the world with the censorship, with all of this stuff, our case in Australia is one of the most powerful, I think, legal challenges to big tech that exists at the moment anywhere in the world. These regulators all around the world are struggling to find the problem in the behavior that they know is wrong. Facebook and Google have done wrong things. And nobody's got the regulations, they just don't have the legal imagination to deal with them. And I think we do. So you'll hear more about that. Anyway, I'm Brian of London. This is going to go out as a podcast. It's also a video, which I tend to put on ThreeSpeak first. I do them on Periscope because I like a bit of live interaction. But you can find brianoflondon.me. That's where I post everything. And I'm very active on the Hive blockchain. I'm also working in the background. Lots more work to do on that, which is bringing podcasting forward to where we can pay for creators as we watch and as we listen. And I think that the very, very interesting developments are going to happen in that direction with cryptocurrency for micropayments whilst you listen to support the people who are giving you decent information. Because I know I cannot get good information even from Fox about this Texas lawsuit. I go to Robert Barnes on Viva Fry, Barnes Law at locals.com. That's that. And I support them because they're giving me a product I value. And so this everything based on advertising, I want that to decline. And we're going to move towards this value for value economy. Someone gives you a valuable piece of information, gives you some entertainment, you give them back some value. And it's an honest one-to-one transaction. And crypto, I think, is going to be the method by which very small, large numbers of very small payments will flow in to creators and make this whole process viable. Anyway, I'm going to get back to my walk. I hope that's been informative and useful. I can't see the comments because I'm wearing sunglasses in the sun. So it's been fun until the next time, and we'll see what happens. Very important week coming up. Hey there, just a very quick addition to the podcast I recorded yesterday. That was on Friday. Of course, after I recorded that podcast, SCOTUS turned down the Texas case and chose to disregard it, to say that the Texas does not have standing. And I guess we're going to see the fallout from that next week. The fight goes on, I'm told. We'll see. Anyway, this is Brian of London, just capping off yesterday's show and podcast. And I'll tack this on the end, and I'll see you the next time I go live.